the way.
Signs of the Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, an independent full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products, insuring East Tennesseans for over 55 years. From your home to the nursing home and everything in between. For a no-obligation, personalized quote, Bob Johnson Insurance can be reached at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Current events.
Personal values.
Political and social issues.
Technology. Wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times. Is the U.S. offering potential excuses or plausible reasons for not coming to Israel's defense? We'll discuss that, as well as a report that once again confirms what God's Word says, that all nations will turn against the Jews. Lots of earth groaning to talk about, and we'll talk about something that makes us groan. Flat earthers are getting their own TV show. So round and round we'll go, and where we'll stop is at the signs of the times. Our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, June 28th, 2024. Listen to this or previous episodes again. You can share them with a friend. You can read the articles we talk about or ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question, but you can only do those last two things when you visit the signs of the times section on thewaymedia.net or just grab our Way Media app. You can find that in the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here to ask if the grocery store has a section for health food, what is the rest of the store? Is Pastor Mark, who recently has come to believe that if his memory was any worse, he could plan his own surprise party.
No, that's good. I like that. I like that. Sadly, that could be true. And I will make some comment about the health store. I did notice when I lived in Santa Fe, New Mexico for a while, and I would go in the health food stores on occasion to get something. You know, the most sickly looking people I've ever seen are in health food stores. I looked at them and said, you people look like you're all dying. Now, I don't know whether or not it was because of the store's food or because they were dying. They went to a health food store, but I'm not kidding. I was like, this is not what I don't want to eat this stuff. If you can, people are all dying.
Or they were struck with horror when they saw the price.
Maybe. Yeah, you're right. You have to, your wallet is certainly not going to be healthy if you eat healthy. That's just part of it.
That's why they don't call it whole paycheck for nothing. So, all right. Before we get into, our standard, listen, the Holy Spirit is our executive producer.
And I think he's
He's modified some things for us, so we're going to begin by Pastor Mark kind of recapping last night's debate, but not about the debate, but what the debate reveals.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about that. Of course, the whole nation's talking about it, and I think we have to be honest and talk about it, especially, you know, looking from a biblical perspective. There is a biblical perspective here. There's a when it comes to end times. But first of all, let me say this, and not that the Bible said that would happen or talks about, you know, a debate.
Right.
But, and I by no means am going to in any way tear down the president. That's not, you know, so I just know my heart there. Which
certain things are self-evident.
Yeah, which I wouldn't do. I mean, yeah. That's, again, we're to honor our leaders, and that's something I'm going to always try my best to do. But I think that what was revealed last night, when I look at it as far as our nation, how far we've fallen and the danger that we're in as a nation, not just spiritually, which is huge, but physically as a nation, I think it was evident to the entire nation that we right now do not have really competent leadership in the sense of being able to mentally handle the job of the president of the United States. I mean, look, you take somebody that's in decent health, and they may not be able to mentally handle the job. I'm not saying that you could have somebody that's totally, you know, that hasn't gotten older and started losing some of their faculties, and they still wouldn't be able to mentally handle. This is a very draining, straining position, probably the hardest, and maybe if not the hardest in the world, one of them, either way. That's why you see presidents go in, they have dark hair and they have gray hair
they
by the time
so
they come
different.
Out. Yeah,
yes.
In four years. Amazing. But I think what it showed the world, here's my concern, it wasn't just America watching that debate. It was China, Iran, and all of our enemies that want to destroy America. And they saw right now how weak our leadership is. Now, let me reiterate, this is not a jab at our president. I'm simply stating a fact. He's just not physically and mentally strong enough to be the president anymore. And I think that was made very evident to the nation last night. And as a matter of fact, even those that are, have been his proponents are coming out and saying that. You've got a fight going on between the liberal, you know, audience there about that whole subject. But many of his own friends are saying, Mr. President, it's time to step aside. A lot of people have made jokes for a long time, but now it's so evident that it's like we have to do something. The nation's in danger. And really what hit me is that if you ever did plan any type of design against America to bring it down by some secret attack, now's the time. This is the moment. There's only a few months left of someone who really wouldn't be able to handle that. And then if President Trump gets back in, and by the way, whether you like him or not, it's not the issue here. Again, I'm not speaking one way or the other, but I'm saying he's very clearly was much more competent. He was very settled, very stable. I mean, it was like there was a real direction and a strength there that was evident. The contrast was overwhelming. Again, anybody who's honest is going to say that. And so they've only got a few months if they want to make something happen. Remember, there are multiple forces wanting America to be brought down. First, I'm going to give the bad news, then the good news. I want our listeners to know. The bad news first.
Oh, great. Good news is coming, folks.
There is. Yes. Don't worry. There's some encouragement at the end of this. But again, there's a lot of forces that want America brought down. First of all, Satan. America has been used by God to be a force for good for many years. And Satan's desire is to bring America down where we can no longer be used in that sense or as a force of good. I'm not saying America's never sinned. We know that. Or America's never done anything wrong. That's not the argument. But truly, God has used America really as kind of a stabilizer in the world for morality, for good, for all kinds of things, although we have our own issues quite agreeably. But with that said, Satan wants to bring down America. And also, Satan wants to bring down America because he wants to unite the world as one. In the last days, he wants to get everyone under his control through the Antichrist, which we've talked about. And America pretty much has to dissolve in some form and fashion for that to happen. And then you've got the enemies around the world who simply hate America, oftentimes moved by the enemy and oftentimes moved by personal ambition, like China. Iran moved by their religion. China moved by personal ambition. Russia by personal ambition. Different nations that would love to see us brought down. The World Economic Forum, which we've talked about before, they want to see America brought down. Even people within our own government want to see America brought down. Because they want to unite in this one world government, which is, again, led by the demonic realm. So there's a lot of forces working against America. And so when you see what happened last night and you realize how vulnerable we are, it's almost like a wild animal in the woods. You know, when they see another animal that's vulnerable, if you see all the gazelles, you know, they're fast, they're fleet of foot. But if you see one limping, man, that's the guy you're going to go after. And you want to get them while they're limping because you may not get another shot. And so my concern right now for America, if God was going to bring some type of judgment on America, now's the time that the enemy could move if God allowed it, because we are a limping, I would say almost a crawling and really almost immobile gazelle at this point. We're easy prey. And so now here's on top of that, again, remember all the bad news first, I promise good news is coming. On top of that, one congressman was saying he believes now that because of so many illegals that have crossed the border, we're somewhere between 40 to 50 million illegals in our nation. And prior to that, we were a nation of about 300 and something million. Now add, of course, there were already probably 20 million here before the President Biden got in. There's maybe another 30 million that have crossed over, 20, 30 million. And again, these are estimates. Nobody knows exactly because there's so many undocumented. Some of the illegals wouldn't even know who's here, but we know that a lot came in. There's been there's tens of thousands of military age Chinese young men have come in, as well as from the Middle East, as well as all over the world. So we have now filled our nation with people that come from countries that hate us and want to destroy us. We don't know who they are. We don't know where they are. The ones that we have caught, we've let go, and they're why are they here? Why are they here? They're not here getting jobs, maybe some of them on a small scale. Some of them are coming for money. Some of them are coming for jobs. A lot of them are simply just here. And so we are in a very, very precarious, dangerous, and vulnerable place right now as a nation. So we've earned it. We deserve it because we've turned from God as a nation. But the answer for all of these things is God. If we repent and turn back to God, God will restore us as a nation. And I'm having now to the good news. That was the bad news. I'm seeing some very positive signs that some of the prayers of the church going up to God are now starting to take effect. Only God knows, but I'm starting to see things taking place. First of all, we talk about here, if I can just go ahead and read that article, Greg, Louisiana becomes the first state to require the Ten Commandments. Jumping there to the very end.
Yeah, this is from CBS News, dated June 19th.
Yes.
The legislation that Republican Governor Jeff Landry signed into law on Wednesday requires a poster-sized display of the Ten Commandments in large, easily readable font in all public classrooms from kindergarten to state-funded universities.
That's amazing. And now this is the beginning of the good news. There's going to be other articles, but starting here, it looks like God might be on the move here, hearing the prayers of the saints to maybe bring some type of revival. I hope that's what's happening. But listen what it says. Louisiana became the first state to require the Ten Commandments. Not you can. No, you've got to be displayed in every public classroom. And again, Jeff Landry, the governor, Republican governor, signed that into law Wednesday. You talked about that. But again, the thing that I highlighted, Greg, was what you pointed out. It is not just to the, from, you know, the public schools from kindergarten up, but to the state funded universities. Can you imagine how mad that's going to make some of these liberal universities having to put the Ten Commandments?
I think the ACLU is already suing in one of these states.
I'm sure they are, but here's the thing. They're probably going to lose. Now, again, in the world we're in today, they may, but there was a precedent. I heard the president last night said, you know, when they, President Biden said last night, President Biden said last night when, the subject of abortion came up, he said, all right, well, for 50 years, it was the law of the land. And I wish the president said, yeah, but for 200 years before that, it wasn't. So you can't use some number like saying, well, for the last 50 years, Roe versus Wade, what about the first 200 or so of our nation or however long, you know, it is leading up to that, maybe not quite 200, but close, that it wasn't law. So again, there's a lot of things that go back historically to our nation where we were founded on, the principles of God's word. Now, we were not declared a nation where you had to be Christian and people had to be Christians. We were a nation that our founding fathers, Greg, they pretty much said, we're a nation that runs on Christian ethics. That is the Judeo-Christian ethic is what we run on, which means we're not commanding everyone here be a Christian. We're not commanding that everyone do what we tell them to do, but we're basing our laws and our beliefs and where we stand as a nation on the ethics of the Bible. The Old Testament from the Jews.
Isaiah 33, right?
Yeah, yes, and the New Testament. So you have this history of America. Many people may not realize most of our major universities were started as Christian universities. Harvard was started as a Christian university. Their statement that they had when Harvard opened was the highest, I can't quote it exactly right, but you can look this up online, but the highest goal of any student is to have Jesus Christ as Lord and have him first. It was something like that was their statement for Harvard. That was their highest.
Wow.
That was their highest statement. I'll try to look it up here in a minute to give you guys the exact quote. But again, all these statements, I mean, all these nations, these Ivy League universities, rather, they were founded on God and on the things of God. And our new generation doesn't know that, but they were. And so to go back and say, we're going to have the state, we're going to make this a law, I don't know that they can defeat it because it has been something that set precedent in America from the very foundation. Now, anything can be overthrown because of the people we have in power. But the bottom line is, this is really, really amazing. It says opponents question the law's constitutionality and vowed to challenge it in court. I'm sure they will and already have, as you said, Greg.
Yeah.
But it has historical significance, it goes on to say. In the language of the law, the Ten Commandments are foundational documents of our state and national government. And they are. They really are. My brother's in Washington right now. He just sent me a picture of the Capitol on the ceiling, and it shows Moses up there with the Ten Commandments looking down over the Capitol. And I'm going, it's amazing how many people don't even realize what we were founded on and what our nation stood for. It says, under the law, state funds will not be used. Okay, so it has to be done personal donations, but you can still put it in. There was churches will. The law also authorizes but does not require the display of other items in K-12, including. So here, now it didn't require these things, but listen what else you're now allowed to do. The Mayflower Compact, Again, it was signed by the religious pilgrims.
Wow,
on the
history.
Mayflower. Yes, America's first constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Northwest Ordinance, which established a government in the Northwest Territory in the present-day Midwest, and created a pathway for admitting new states in the Union. So this is really sweeping and wonderful, and it's about time. You see all this pressure put on us about what we have to take out of the schools, and we took God out. Well, look at the result. We took God out of the government. We took God out of the schools, and now look at our government and our schools. They are total disaster. And you say, well, that just happened. No. David Barton from Wall Builders has done a chart showing the level of crime and morality and issues in America up until the time they took them out. And they took the Word of God out of schools in 63, the prayer out of schools in 62. And Greg, and they found on that chart an immediate change in morals, and our nation began to decline at that moment. It can be traced back to removing God. And now it's time to say, God, we messed up. We need you back.
Let me take that one step further, Pastor Mark, because that is in David Barton's book called Original Intent.
There you go.
And the chart that David shows is a chart from our own government. When the FBI tracked the major 10 crime statistics that they were tracking during that time, the statistics that showed the dramatic,
yes.
I mean like hockey stick, dramatic spike percentage-wise in these 10 major crimes,
yes.
The FBI tracked the year after those things were removed out of our public school system.
Yeah.
So that's not us making that up. Our own government was declaring that that was the case, but of course would not correlate that to, you know, the removal of prayer in the Bible.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And you know, it's amazing. So these things are trackable by statistics. We're not just saying
we're
that.
Not making it up.
Yeah, it's very, very trackable. So what you're seeing is they're trying to bring this back in, and you see kind of a, you know, really, Greg, even historically, you see this kind of pattern. You look at Israel and Judges, they started out doing right, they'd slowly fall away from God, they would get so devastated by their sins and all that brought in on their society and their nation, they would say, we got to go back, they'd repent, they come back to God, God would restore them, sin revival, and they did the same thing over and over if you read through the Judges. Listen, I'm hopeful that we're on that pattern. I don't want us to do it and go back, but I'm hopeful that Americans have gotten so run down from how corrupt and dangerous and destroyed our nation is that we're crying out to God and saying we need to get back to some level of a Christian basis of God's word. And plus, I know the church has been praying for years for God to send revival and to restore us. And Greg, that may be happening. So you look at that. Again, I see that what happened there in Louisiana. But now I want to talk about the state of Tennessee.
Okay.
And that is the
Did you want to hit the Oklahoma schools first?
Yeah, let's
you
go
do
ahead.
That?
Yeah, let's do. Let's
okay.
do.
Okay. Because what we're going to do now is we're going to go from posting the Ten Commandments to basically preaching the Ten Commandments. This is from Fox News, dated June 27th, just yesterday. Oklahoma schools are now required to teach the Bible and the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, this is amazing. Again, this you see what's happening.
Do you have
happened?
That copy?
I do right
Perfect.
Here. But you see what happened down in Louisiana. Now you see what's happening here in Oklahoma. Listen to what it says. The constitutional attorney Mark Smith breaks down legal questions swirling around Louisiana's new Ten Commandments law. All public schools in Oklahoma are now required. Notice they're required as well, Greg.
I know.
To incorporate the Bible and the Ten Commandments into their curricula. Grades 5
so
to 10.
So beyond just posting.
Yes, they have to put it in their curriculum. This is even better. From grades 5 to 10. Primarily for historical context. And of course, that's the way you get around all that nonsense. Oklahoma Superintendent of School Ryan Walters issued a memo Thursday informing superintendents across the state their districts are required to incorporate the Bible into lessons. Walters said in the memo that his directive aligns with educational standards approved in May 2019. Again, Oklahoma Superintendent Ryan Walters announced Thursday they'll begin across the state. We've seen the radical leftists drive God out of schools, drive the Bible out of schools, and we have to make sure that our kids have an understanding of what made America great, said Walters. So this is great. They need the historical context. He says, not teaching our kids about the faith of our fathers and the influence that the Bible had in our history is just academic malpractice. He explained that under his directive, instructors in every classroom across the state would have a copy of the Bible to teach from. I just think this is fantastic. Again, we see this. This is something that I think that it could have always been done, Greg, but I think people have been afraid to do it because there's so much opposition to it. And now we have people that we're going to look. Everything is so bad. We've got to do something. They're bold enough to say, no, we're going to do this. We're going to make a stand. Make the Supreme Court stop us. But we're going to do this because we think we can. I say, praise the Lord for these guys. I'm excited about it. And that brings us to Tennessee.
Yes.
which again, maybe many of our listeners have heard, maybe they've not heard. Tennessee also has its own House Joint Resolution, number 803, for the month of July. And this is so exciting to me, but I want you to hear what this is passed in the House, Resolution 803. I love Tennessee. I love it even more after this, and I see our leaders. I'm thrilled about our leaders up there. But listen what this resolution says. And by the way, we're doing this here at Calvary Knoxville. I encourage you guys to encourage your churches to read about it, to do it. It's calling for a month of fast and prayer for the sins of our state. Listen what it says. A resolution to seek God's hand of mercy and healing on Tennessee, or God's mercy healing on Tennessee. Whereas our state and nation suffer from violence committed upon our citizens by our citizens, and whereas our state and nation suffer from violence committed upon our citizens by non-citizens, the illegals, and whereas acts of violent crime in our schools are unacceptable, and whereas human trafficking is an unacceptable and violent evil in our state, enslaving lives and violating the core values of our Creator, endowing rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and whereas drug addiction overwhelms our families, our government finances, our workforce productivity, as well as our health care and our new law enforcement resources, and whereas deadly fentanyl flows uncontrollably across the southern U.S. border, resulting in the deaths of Tennesseans, and whereas driving under the influence, drunk driving, results in great pain and injury for Tennessee families, and whereas we have approximately 9,000 children in need of foster care, indicating a brokenness in many Tennessee homes, and whereas evidence of corruption in our federal government stands to impact every Tennessean, and whereas our nation and state founders trusted in the omnipotent hand of providence to guide and bless our land, and whereas over decades these leaders called our people to seek out the Creator's favor by issuing proclamations like the one from John Adams on April 15, 1799, which reads, and I'm almost done, but I wanted to read the whole resolution.
Yeah.
This is what it says. Here's from John Adams, April 15, 1799, that they ended this resolution with for this month of fasting and prayer in Tennessee and calling out to God to repent. He says, "This day be observed throughout the United States of America as a day of solemn humiliation, fasting, and prayer, that the citizens on that day abstain, as far as may be, from their secular occupation and devote the time to sacred duties of religion, in public and private, that they call to mind our numerous offenses against the Most High God, confess them before Him with a sincerest repentance, imploring His pardoning mercy through the great Mediator and Redeemer for our past transgressions, and that through the grace of His Holy Spirit, we may be disposed and enabled to yield a more suitable obedience to His righteous requisitions in time to come, that He would interpose to arrest the progress of that impiety and licentiousness in principle and practice, so offensive to Himself and so ruinous to mankind, that He would make us deeply sensible that the righteous exaltation of a nation, or that the righteousness rather exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Proverbs 14:34. Again, what an amazing, it goes on. I turn the paper over. And whereas we hold our founding fathers, now that was the end of his quote. But let me go ahead and read the last few whereases they have for us. "And whereas we hold that our by the way, just real quick on that, I wasn't going to interrupt myself, but do you think our founding fathers were Christians? I think it's pretty evident. It goes on, "Whereas we hold that our founders correctly acknowledge the truth in their words, and whereas we hold that except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain," from Psalm 127, 1. "Therefore," here it is, after all that, "be it resolved by the House of Representatives of the 113th General Assembly of the State of Tennessee, the Senate concurring, that this period of July 1st, 2024, through July 31st, 2024, be recognized as a time of prayer and fasting in Tennessee." Is that awesome or what? "Be it further resolved that we recognize that God, as Creator and King of all glory, has both the authority to judge and bless nations and states. Be it further resolved that we, as public servants in Tennessee General Assembly, seek God's mercy upon our land and beseech Him not to withdraw His hand from blessing upon us. Be it further resolved that we recognize our sins and shortcomings before Him and humbly ask His forgiveness. Be it further resolved that we ask the Lord Jesus to heal our land and remove the violence, human trafficking, addiction, and corruption. Be it further resolved that we seek the Holy Spirit That he fill our halls of government, our classrooms, our places of business, our churches, and our homes with his peace, love, and joy. Be it further resolved that we call upon all those who are physically able and spiritually inclined to do so to be joined in the 30-day season of prayer and intermittent fasting as we begin a new fiscal year as a means of seeking God's blessing and humbling ourselves to receive his grace and mercy, transforming ourselves and our communities and our state and our nation, signed by the Speaker of the House, Rand McNally, the Speaker of the Senate, and Bill Lee, our governor. Is this an amazing, wonderful state or what? And again, this was done by Representative Monty Fritz, who put this together. So God bless those guys. God bless our governor and all those that are doing this. And again, I know that this broadcast goes all over the country, so probably a lot more people are going to move here to Tennessee now. Now you know why everybody's moving here. Again, no, this is not the promised land, but again, this is an area that where God is still has a lot of believers and they're standing firm. And I'm so excited for our state. I'm excited about what it could mean for our nation. We see what's happening in Oklahoma, in Tennessee, in Louisiana. Let's pray that it spreads across the nation, that all the states would adopt such a resolution, that all of us would repent before God, that our nation could be restored. How we need to do that, that is the only hope for America. And so the good news is, look, our nation is in a disastrous mess right now because of our sins. I'm not blaming any politician or any president or any one person or any group of people. No, it is because we as a nation have turned away from God for a long time, and now we've brought upon ourselves the consequences of that sin. We're in a mess, and now we need to cry out to God and turn back to God so we can be restored and God can heal our land. And so let's be praying, make July the month of prayer and fasting. God heal Tennessee, forgive us of our sins, God heal our nation. What a great opportunity this is to see a turning and a move of our God.
Amen. Well, Pastor Mark, I've got my own resolution.
Okay.
Whereas half the show is already gone, we must get to articles.
There you go. It was worth it. That was led by the Lord. Led by the Lord today.
Absolutely. All right. Let's get to Israel. This is from All Israel News. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff says the U.S. may be unable to assist Israel if Iran joins a war with Hezbollah.
Now, this is why we're being judged. Or let me say, if we're not being judged, people can make that argument. This is why we're in decline. God says, I'll bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse Israel. This is a public declaration of cursing for the nation of Israel. Because what they're saying is this is a power play to try to stop Israel from doing what they need to do. Well, we're not going to help you. Now, they make the argument there's certain missiles we simply can't stop because they're smaller and they're in the closer range. Look, they didn't stop the last missiles. God did. And God used Israel's defense system to do it. We didn't do that. God did it. And so God simply says this. You make vocal statements. You stand with Israel. You make physical statements. You make vocal statements. And I'm going to bless you or curse you depending on what you do. So now we're calling down more curses on our nation, showing why we are where we are. But again, having the hope that these guys will be out soon and we'll have somebody new and they're running it. But listen to what it says. Drives me crazy. Air Force General Charles Q. Brown warned that a full-scale war between Israel and Hezbollah would likely involve Iran and that the United States may not be able to provide the same assistance as it did Israel in the Iranian attack in April. And by the way, that was mostly, almost completely, they shot down some things coming in, but that was really Israel defending itself by its Iron Dome and its own defense systems. Although I do acknowledge that the U.S. did shoot some things down. Brown said Iran is firm in its support for Hezbollah in Lebanon and would likely help the group, particularly if they felt that Hezbollah was being significantly threatened. Brown said these shorter range rockets, here's their statement, which is a cop out. Brown said these shorter range rockets are harder to intercept and also raised the issue of the safety of U.S. service members deployed in the Middle East. He noted that no U.S. military bases have been attacked since February. Now, while this may be a legitimate thing to say, and say, you know what, we can't get these shorter mid-range rockets. I'm not going to say that couldn't be a legitimate statement. So I can't fully say what's going on in this ruling or whatever you want to call it here. But because we know that the current administration has firmly stood against the nation of Israel, we know where it's coming from. This is a threat. They're simply saying, we're not going to help you. You better not do this, even as they threaten to try to stop them from doing what they needed to do in Rafah in the Gaza Strip. So this is the kind of stuff we need to be praying. God, remove these guys, put godly people in these positions, and let's stand with Israel because we're going to be cursed if we don't.
All right, as we take a look at some growing anti-Semitism, we go to the Jerusalem Post. This article is dated June 26th. U.S. report finds a widespread uptick in anti-Semitism across the globe. Oh, yeah. You don't say.
Yeah, and we've covered so many of these. I almost dropped this article, Greg, but this is such a huge statistic. I wanted to keep it.
Okay.
Because we always talk about the increase, but a couple of statements I wanted you to note. It says that the International Religious Freedom released this on Wednesday, and they're seeing it in every corner of the globe. In other words, it's now the entire world
is infected,
is attacking Jews. The entire world. We are back. Listen, this is worse than World War II.
You know, that's a good point.
This is worse than World War II. We now are worse because in World War II, America still stood with the Jews. And America still stood with Israel, and much of America now is attacking the Jews.
Well, and the persecution was limited to Europe because of Hitler.
Yes.
Now it's a global persecution.
It is global, and even our leadership, from the president on down, is attacking Israel. So we are in a worse state than we were with World War II, which is a shocking thing to think about, but it's the reality. Here's the stats I want you to get. That, number one. Number two, French officials reported the total number of anti-Semitic acts during 2023 nearly quadrupled. 1,676, up from 436 in 2022. And then it said, according to the report, the anti-Semitic acts increased by 1,000% since just October 7th. 1,000%, with 1,242 acts reported after that date, equaling that of the previous 3 years combined. So there is a growing hatred. Satan is spawning this. Satan is the one driving this.
This is supernatural.
It is worse than World War II. Now the entire world's in on it. And again, either there's going to be a revival and God's going to push this back, or we're going to push right into the Antichrist. Only God knows. But again, time will tell. We'll see. But again, this is bad news. And really, it's good news in the sense of Jesus is coming back.
Yeah.
But it's bad news in the reality we live in at the moment.
Amen. All right, that's Pastor Mark Kirk, who is helping us understand the signs of the times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecy in the world's news on WIAM LP Knoxville. We are a weekly radio broadcast that becomes podcast number 317, available to subscribe and listen to wherever you get your podcasts. And now,
you've got me.
Pastor Mark, we've got three questions this week. Our first question comes from Carlos, listening here in Knoxville. He has a question regarding the age of accountability. He said, you briefly addressed the concept of the age of accountability in a recent episode, and I was hoping that you would expand on that conversation. My son is 3, and my wife and I are both followers of Christ. We are teaching our son at home and are involved in our church, but as we can clearly see, the signs are pointing to the rapture and the next big prophecy fulfillment. The Bible clearly teaches truth that we are born into sin with a sin nature and that God hates sin. So, how does this truth reconcile with the concept of an age of accountability?
That's such a great question. First of all, kudos to you, Carlos. I mean, he said since the days of the Alcoa Highway, he's been listening to us. How long has the radio broadcast been going, Greg? 16, 17 years? I don't remember exactly.
Our first year of broadcasting Signs of the Times was 2007.
So 2007. So again, been around a long time. So I don't know if Carlos was there from the very beginning, but Carlos, we're glad you're listening.
Long suffering with us,
right,
Carlos.
That's right. That's right. What a great question, though. You know, Carlos, again, look, it is a great question, and I can't give you the exact reasons, but I can tell you what the Bible says. Let me give you what the Bible says about this. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and I'm going to start in verse 10 because it really needs that run and go to lead into these verses. Paul said, now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. But to the rest I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe and she's willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And so the context is in the married family here. Note that. And we're talking about a believer and unbeliever. That's the context. That's why I'm reading this. It'll make sense in a moment. And the woman who has the husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. So don't divorce just because they're an unbeliever. Stay together if they're willing to stay. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. That is, God will use her to draw him to the Lord. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by her husband. So also, if a husband knows the Lord, he'll draw his wife to the Lord. But here's the interesting, curious statement he makes. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But now, they are holy. So what is this saying? Again, we don't get all the details on this, Carlos. But what it's saying is, if we have at least one saved parent in the household, then the children are considered holy to God up to a certain point. Now, that comes to the age of accountability. When is that point? We don't know. But he says very clearly here that God will supernaturally graft in, I guess you would say, a child that has a parent who's a believer up to a certain age and actually allow them to go to heaven. Now, I guess you say the argument for that would be they don't understand. They're not old enough to know sin and non-sin or to really know, understand the whole process of need to be forgiven and salvation. So when you've got this situation, at least if one in the household is saved, it says that they will go to heaven. It's a very interesting theological conundrum when you think about original sin. And all I can believe is that God uses the blood to cover that in those who don't know any better at that age. For whatever the reason. Can't give you a better explanation than that. That's simply what the Bible says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7.
Yeah. I think about David's baby with Bathsheba.
Yeah. Yeah. David, of course, was saved, and he said, I will not, you know, the baby will not come back to me, but I will go to the baby, very clearly indicating that David believed that baby's going to be in heaven. And David, the Bible says, was a prophet of God, so he would have known that. So, it's interesting. What it says is that that's where we get the whole term age of accountability, because at least that's partially where we get it. That's the question of in a household. And sometimes people ask me, Carlos, they'll say, so Pastor Mark, what about the family that has two unbelieving parents and the child is a baby and dies? What happens? I don't know. I don't know. The Bible is silent. My guess is that, you know, I hate to even say, you know, I know that God is gracious, God is merciful. And it may very well be that they enter the kingdom of God as well. But it doesn't tell us. It's totally silent. All God says is, if there's at least one believing parent in the household, children, up until they're old enough to really make that choice and know, they're sanctified and they're considered holy before God and they'll go to heaven. Now, we have to factor in, you say, well, that's not fair. What about the baby if they have two unbelieving parents? God is always righteous and God is always fair. Remember, God sees all things. God knows who that child's going to be and what that child's going to do. As a matter of fact, in one of the king's sons, it says he took the baby. It's a different baby. I forget which king it was, but it popped in my mind as we're talking about it. And he says, I took this son because I found some righteousness in him. He was a baby. And God says, righteousness only in him. The rest of the family was corrupt. He said, but righteousness was found in him, so I took him. So God indicates that he went to heaven because righteousness was found in him, and he didn't even get to live that righteousness out. But God saw that he would have, had he had the chance to live. So see, God, there's a whole different, this blows our minds. But now we're talking about the supernatural and outside the room. God sees all things from beginning to end, and that's how that works. The other thing where age of accountability really comes from, and this is what I'll touch on, and again, I don't want to give anybody false hope, but I will say this, because to me it seems a little bit old to be this age. But when God was judging the children of Israel in the wilderness, he said, okay, because you parents, your generation has sinned against me, none of you get to enter the promised land. However, your children, 19 and under, they can come in. But you guys can't. 20 and up, nope, can't come in. 19 and under, you're grandfathered, come on in. Now, was that just to allow them, because they were younger in age, to enter the promised land? Or was there some implication about an age of accountability? That's where the argument comes in. I personally believe that the 19 and under was referring to, look, they were young, we're going to let them go in the promised land, but this has nothing to do with salvation. This just has to do with the nation getting to move forward with the next generation in the promised land. But those of you that were 20 and up, you knew better than this, you're not going to even get the promised land. So I think it's a separate issue than salvation, but some have argued that that could be possibly a line of an age of accountability. And if it is, then wow, that's a big sigh of relief to a lot of parents. But at the same time, that's pretty old. And to me, that's too old to say you could do whatever you wanted up till 19 and still get into heaven. I think it comes to a point, whatever age it is, and it may not be a set age. I think it's more of your maturity level. When you understand, I am a sinner before God, I need to repent, and I need to turn to God. So little kids in the home, one parent, yes. 19 and under, promised land, but probably not a salvation issue. And what that age is, I think it differs from person to person, and that's really all we know from the scripture, Carlos.
Well, and some people will argue the Jewish tradition of the bar and bat mitzvah in the age of accountability somehow correlating to that age, would I think be 12 or 13?
Well, girls at 12 and boys at 13.
Okay.
Because girls mature sooner, which is absolutely a fact. And it would almost be girls at 12 and guys at 20.
Yeah, exactly. I would agree with that, yes.
Yeah, either way. Anyway. But I hope that's helpful, Carlos.
All right, Pastor Mark Michael, who enjoys Signs of the Times up north in Newmarket, has a question regarding the Israeli military draft. With the Israeli High Court ruling this week that the military must draft the ultra-Orthodox Jews as well, is there anywhere in prophecy we could know that this was going to happen?
You know, first of all, I'm thrilled that they did this. I'm so thrilled that the court did this in Israel, because these guys, these Orthodox Jews, they take advantage of Israel.
They sponge.
They take advantage of all the benefits. They get the all the checks that the government will give them, do all things. But they hate the nation. They live there, and they say we don't deserve to be a nation. I don't know if they hate the nation, but they say we don't deserve to be a nation yet until the Messiah comes. And so they just sponge off the nation. They don't give anything or serve at all. And they use religious exemption, waiting on the Messiah, because we're not going to fight till the Messiah comes. Well, nonsense. I'm so glad they said, forget it. You're going to fight or get out. You're in or out, one or the other. If you live here, you got to fight. So first of all, I'm happy they did that. As far as any prophetic significance, look, if there is any, I can't find it. And if there is any, I don't know it. I don't see any prophetic significance to this. I can't see any connection to this one event, to anything the Bible talks about in the last days or the regathering of Israel.
All right, Pastor Mark, our last question comes from Christy, enjoying Signs of the Times, again up north, but this time in Union County. She says, what does God's word say about celebrating the birth of someone that has deceased?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, Christy, and I think it depends. And let me give you what my viewpoint on this is. Look, if it's simply, it comes around every year and you want to remember your dad. And so, you know what? Dad used to take me out for ice cream. I'm just going to go get an ice cream in honor of dad and remember him. If some kind of memorial is being done just to remember the person, to honor them, I don't have a problem with that. I say, look, we do memorials. We have Memorial Day, where we're honoring all those that have died in the military. We do all these different things that we do. So memorials are a regular part of life. And some would say there's even memorials that will be built in the thousand-year reign that Christ brings in. So there's no issue with doing something that brings back a memory of someone and honoring that, okay, on that level. But it can get weird. All right, if it gets weird and you're like having birthday parties for the dad that died 30 years ago and the family's gathering and it's a birthday party and they're getting a cake and it turns into almost kind of some strange, you know, a little bit beyond, you know, just starts getting weird. If it gets weird, I would stay away from that, because, in other words, they've already gone to be with the Lord. Don't let it be worship of any kind, or idol worship, or, you know, I've seen people,
or like trying to communicate.
Yeah, well, I've seen people, for example, Greg, even here in other countries, like in Vietnam, they put pictures up of their relatives and burn incense to it, because they're honoring their relatives like they're worshiping them to some degree. They're giving them a spiritual power. And I've even known people here. I know someone here in Tennessee that has put up a picture of, like, you know, their parents or one of the parents, and that burns candles and puts little memorials around it. It's almost like a statue of Mary or something. Very bizarre to me. Now, that's not good. That's idolatry. That's weird. We need to stay away from that. But if it's simply saying, hey, dad died today, let's all go get ice cream. He used to buy us ice cream. And in honor of dad, you know, yay, dad, and we get to have a good ice cream. I'll do that one all day. So I see no problem there. Just I guess you have to evaluate, is there any kind of idolatry or something spiritual or weird going on? If so, then get away from it.
Yeah. All right. If you've got a prophecy question or even just a Bible question, like Christy did for Pastor Mark, just go to the Signs of the Times section of thewaymedia.net. You'll see where you can ask your question for Pastor Mark, or you can do that on our Way Media app as well. All right, let's get to the smorgasbord of the end times: pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption. Our first story kind of goes from north to south, because it's ABC 7 in New York reporting on something going on in Florida, which is interesting. This is article is dated June 10th. Florida officials are urging beachgoers to remain cautious after three people bit by sharks at Water Sound and Seacrest Beach. So that was a few weeks ago.
Yes.
I don't know if there's any uptick in that activity since this article, Pastor Mark.
I haven't heard of anything else, but this is my vacation spot. So get away from my beach. That's what I want to say. I'm just going to spray on some shark repellent when I go in. I just spray it on the, you know, like mosquito repellent, put a shark repellent on. I'm not sure what that would be. But either way, you know, this is really, it's very interesting, Greg. Let me just read a little bit of this. Again, Walton County. They're patrolling the ocean and warning swimmers about sharks along Florida's Gulf Coast. A woman and two teenager girls were hurt in two separate shark attack encounters on Friday. In one day.
Wow.
Two different beaches. That's very, very unusual. And I quote, all I can say is these incidents are very rare, said Damian Chapman, a scientist and director of the Center of Shark Research at the Moat Marine Laboratory Aquarium in Sarasota, Florida. It's even more rare to have two events in one day involving three people. He told the Associated Press, that's astronomically low odds of that happening. Please, and again, they put this statement, swim carefully, respect the Gulf, stay hydrated. Again, well, no matter how you swim, if a shark's going to get you, you know, I would say...
Just swim faster swim than your
fast,
friend.
Swim faster, don't get in. Yeah, swim faster than your friend. Go out with someone who's not a good swimmer, and then get on the other side of them if you see the shark coming, and you're going to be fine. So that's the best way to handle that, if we can give any kind of counsel. But either way, yeah, you know, it's and now why did I leave this in here? I don't think we're there when I say this next statement, but this is interesting to bring up. First of all, we talked in Romans 8:22 about the earth, you know, groaning for the return of the Lord. You're going to see more and more bizarre environmental things happening with the animals and everything else. But it's interesting, Greg, the Bible does say in Leviticus 26:22 that the farther a nation rebels against God, God will begin to lift the restriction of animals' fear of man. God, in other words, God will actually not only allow the animals to start attacking man, God will send them. And he says, I'll bereave you of your children. And you know, what made me think why this is so important, the two bear attacks that happened here just in the last month.
Yes.
That many people may not know about. That didn't happen. And I say bear attacks. There was one lady, you know, there was one person that was attacked and not hurt. Another one that was swatted at because it surprised the bear. And then I saw out west, a lady had some bear in her neighborhood that kept harassing her. Greg, that bear, this happened again in the last 2 to 3 weeks. He broke into her house and killed her.
Wow.
So what you're seeing is there's a sudden uptick in the aggressiveness of wild animals. Now, is this just some fluke because it's hotter? And I don't know. Is it something because of, you know, the earth groaning, Romans 8:22? Is it just, again, one of those things? Because we have a lot of people, a lot of animals. Is it Leviticus, you know, where God's saying, you know what? I'm going to allow the, you know, as a nation rebels against me. All I'm saying is these are interesting things to watch. I'm not making an evaluation of what this is. I just find it interesting when you see this kind of surge. And I say, let's keep our eyes on it. If it dies down and nothing comes from it, ignore it. It's just a very unusual series of unfortunate events. However, if this keeps going, this could be a sign of a chastisement from God upon our nation. So keep your eye on it.
All right, our next article comes from CNN. A heat wave is bringing searing temperatures to New York, and the I-95 corridor, Washington, D.C., hit 100 degrees again. This is back from June 10th as well, but I don't think these things have really stopped very much.
Yeah, well, it's a hot time, that's for sure. More than 100 million Americans, including those in highly populated I-95 corridor, are under heat alerts through the weekend. A heat emergency is in effect for Washington, where the temperature skyrocketed to 100 degrees Fahrenheit, the first time the city has recorded temperatures that high since 2012. Again, they also mention in this, it's parts of the Ohio Valley, Mid-Atlantic is where this is rising up. And there's a tropical storm system, I guess, affected by the heat as well. They're saying could develop sizzling temperatures returning to California and catastrophic flooding at the same time they list here in Iowa. Now, I don't know if they're linking all these together, but again, all these are signs of the times. All of these are things the Bible talks about in Matthew and other places. In the last days, you're going to see increasing and like birth pangs. There'll be contractions, then die down, then contractions, then die down. So again, I find this intriguing just to keep your eye on this. It's not global warming that's causing this. It's not your car. It's not your carbon footprint. It is simply the earth groaning. And it could be a chastisement from the Lord as well. So only time will tell.
Yeah. All right. Well, the birth pang has moved from the East Coast to the Midwest. As we visit usnews.com, this is dated June 25th. Iowa floodwaters breach levees as even more rain dumps onto parts of the Midwest.
Again, we talk about in Matthew, the floods and the hurricane. I mean, all the things are going to be happening, you know, the earthquakes and all these things. Again, in the last days, you're going to see a lot more of this type of stuff taking place. This is in Des Moines. Tornado warnings, flash flooding, and large hail added insult to injury for people in the Midwest already contending with heat, humidity, and intense flooding after days of rain. The National Weather Service on Tuesday afternoon and evening issued multiple tornado warnings in parts of Iowa and Nebraska as local TV news meteorologists showed photos of large hail and spoke of very heavy rain. Earlier on Tuesday, floodwaters breached the levees in Iowa, creating dangerous conditions that prompted evacuations. A vast swath of lands from eastern Nebraska and southern Dakota to Iowa and Minnesota have been under siege from flooding from torrential rain since last week, while also being hit with a scorching heat wave. Up to 18 inches of rain have fallen in some areas, and some rivers rose to record levels. I saw a dam that was about to break the other day. I don't know if it did or not. Hundreds of people were rescued. Homes were damaged. At least two people died after driving in flooded areas. Again, you're going to see more of this as we get toward the last days. These are all signs of the things the Lord said we would be watching. And remember, we're not just watching this here. We're seeing this kind of stuff all over the world, and we're seeing all a multitude of these things all happening at once. That's why we include them as signs of the times, because that's how the Lord described it happening. So it's not just an isolated flood, an isolated hot day. No, it's a conglomerate of all these things.
So let's just make a quick distinction between the events that are chronicled for us in Revelation in terms of what's going to happen to the earth.
Right.
That is specifically God's judgment upon the unbelieving world.
Yes.
Correct. Okay, so now, but what we're seeing right now is not necessarily God's judgment, but it could be the earth groaning.
Yes.
God's chastisement.
Yes.
Maybe in his mercy trying to get our attention.
He has done that throughout biblical history.
Is there any other reason that would be folded into that?
You know, I think that pretty much covers it, Greg. Just the earth groaning and the possible, you know, I don't see it. When it's worldwide, it could be a chastisement to the world to get the world to repent, but it's probably the earth groaning, all these things the Lord said would be happening
Matthew
in the last
24,
days.
Romans 8, 22.
Yeah, that are taking place. And so, again, you know, we're going to see a lot more of this. And again, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not pointing to everything and saying God's judging us. And some people even shy away that would say that even any of the things we're seeing happening now in America is in any form and fashion God's judgment. I'm not going to shy away from it that much, because it may very well be. But I don't think that everything that happens is God's judgment. I think most of it is a chastisement of God to get our attention. And then the chastisements that happen lead to God's judgment. There will be an eventual judgment, but there's all these chastisements on the road to that judgment. And you know, it's just part of what happens, you know, but be watching, because it's going to be more happening for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, we used our good news articles at the beginning of the show, so this will be our last article for the day. And this comes from Gizmodo.com, dated June 21st. Flat Earthers are getting their own reality TV show.
I can already hear all the jokes. You know, it's going to fall flat. You know, it's not going to... let me be the first to start that.
Yeah,
amazing.
Do you have any more? Because those are good.
Well, it may hit me as I go through here, but this is amazing to me, what's happening with this whole flat earth thing, Greg, because I want to read the article and I want to talk about this.
Yeah.
I'm glad we have a few minutes, because I really have been wanting at some point in the show to talk about this. So I see God's timing in this as well. But, you know, the Bible says... Let me just first of all read some of this, and then we'll get back to it, and some of the comments I want to make.
Sure.
Flat Earth conspiracy theories have run rampant in recent years, despite fairly conclusive proof that our planet is shaped like an orb. William Shatner wouldn't lie to us.
Would he?
Would he? And they say, yes, for some reason, a substantial demographic has taken it upon themselves to prove that if you pilot a yacht far enough into the ocean or rig up your own private rocket, which some guy tried to do, actually.
I know.
And fly it into the stratosphere, that you'll eventually discover that we've been all lied to about the shape of our planet. IndieWire reports that the new reality TV shows is in the works that will pay conspiracy theorists money to pursue their beliefs that the Earth is shaped like a Frisbee-like disc rather than a sphere that it is. The show, which is described as part docuseri, part competition, will supply conspiracy theorists with $50,000 worth of resources to conduct research. Ultimately, the contestants will present their findings to a panel of scientists, theologians, and cartographers. If they can convince a majority of the judges that the Earth is indeed flat, they will win a cash prize. And he puts it in quotes, they won't. They won't win it. Of course, this particular theory has a history that is notably intertwined with religious fundamentalism. Greg, this is where this is going to be key to talk about.
Okay.
It's been referred to as a form of extreme biblical literalist theology, which may help explain why some of its believers are so unusually resistant to reason. One of the more prominent flat earth conspiracy theorists is that the planet is actually encircled by a giant wall of ice, which is guarded for some reason by military forces to keep the world's citizens from knowing the truth.
Okay.
It doesn't help that a number of prominent voices in pop culture, right-wing infotainment complex, have occasionally indulged the delusion, including, there are some big-name people, Tucker Carlson, one of them, saying he would be open to that theory.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, here's the thing. These arguments can go on forever with everybody going back and forth trying to prove this and prove that. But what settled it for me, the earth is round. There's two things. Number one, the Bible says that there's a circle, there's a circle of the earth, not on the earth. They talk about there's a circle that's on the earth, almost like a dome or like a food thing you have over your food, those things they pick up. They say there's a dome, and that's why we see the domed look when we look at the sky and all that goes with that. But the Bible doesn't say that there's a circle, the circle on the earth. The Bible says there's the circle of the earth, which indicates the earth is round. It's of the earth, the whole earth, not just on the earth. And right now, if there's any flat earthers listening, they're jumping up and down. But you don't know these 150,000 verses I have. Okay. First of all, many people have gone up in orbit. Here's what settled it for me. Then I'll talk about what it is. I got to go fast. Many people have gone up in orbit. And you say, well, they're all lying. They see that it's flat and they have to agree. They make some pact that they can't tell that the earth's really round. Can you imagine how hard that would be? How many secrets have you tried to keep and you've told your friend that you trusted more than anyone, tell no one, and the secret gets out? Do you think with all the people that have gone and seen the round earth and flown around it, that they could keep that secret by some kind of pact and not somebody leak that by now? That to me settled it, first of all. It's just settled. There's no way you could hide that secret. People have seen it. They look at it. It's round. They've flown around it. So it's nonsense. But why is this happening, Greg? I believe this is doctrines of demons.
Yes.
And the Bible says in the last days there will be doctrines of demons. Why do I believe flat earth is doctrine of demons? And I believe there are true believers, that Christians that believe this, but they're deceived.
You can be deceived.
Yes, but why do I believe that? I think Satan is doing this to make Christianity look foolish.
Mm.
I think it's being done to discredit the Bible, because the stand is going to be, you watch, it's going to ultimately come down to, well, the Bible says it, here's the verses, and it's going to make the Bible look foolish, and it's going to make some people believe that the Bible really says the earth is flat. The Bible does not say the earth is flat. It is a misunderstanding of the Bible. So I think it's doctrines of demons to make the Bible look false and foolish in the last days. And one of the things they use, the four corners of the earth. And we still use that today. Our military talks about the four corners of the earth. It's a figure of speech, for crying out loud. And they say that the Jews will be gathered from the four corners of the earth. See, that shows it's square, or that it's flat. No, they say there's ice all the way around it. That would mean that all the Jews are out there on ice packs. And they're waiting until the Jews get called from the ice packs from the four corners of the world to come in. So even if you think just some basic logic in their arguments, it falls flat. Okay, there's your next joke, Greg. All right. I do believe, I'm not trying to start fights with those who believe this. I do believe, though, this is, you're going to see more doctrines of demons in the last days. It's doctrines of fallen angels. And remember, Satan's goal is to make Christianity look foolish. And I think this is going to be another one to try to make Christianity look foolish, number one. And number two, discredit the Bible. Because, look, the Bible teaches a flat earth. The Bible does not teach a flat earth. There are figures of speech, and the Bible very clearly says the circle of the earth, not the circle on the earth. And so all this, again, it's nonsense, and it's people waste their time on it, and I think it's simply demonic to discredit the Word of God. So, there's going to be a whole group of people, Greg, that will always follow these type of things. I'm sure that a lot of unbelievers will watch it just because it's going to be great entertainment. They're going to make fun of Christians, but this is sad, really, in many ways.
Would you say that this is a form of or part of church apostasy?
Well, it absolutely is. I mean, basically, you're yeah, it's false teaching, yeah. And it could certainly cause a falling away.
Okay.
And the falling away, it could definitely cause a falling away if you went too far out to the edge.
Now, okay, so I that was not planned, but that was really good. See, this is why he is Pastor Mark.
That's right. Yeah, right. That's so. Right. Well, again, I just want to make an appeal to our listeners out there. If you've kind of been pulled into this and you say, look, I'm just kind of interested, I was looking into it, I'm not trying to be insulting to you, and I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm being honest.
Yeah.
The Bible, not only does the Bible says the circle of the earth rather than the circle on the earth, there are also lots of scientific studies. You can watch ships disappear in the horizon. I've seen that myself. And again, you know, I think it's simply a thing to get you sidetracked. And don't get sidetracked. Stay focused. Don't get caught up in these things where I believe Satan is trying to make believers and the Bible look foolish. Stand firm on the Word of God. It is true. It will hold true. And again, I just want to encourage you, don't be veered away in our days by such things.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Mark. Thank you, folks, for listening. Don't forget, next Friday at 1:30 for more Signs of the Times right here on WIAM.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888-RX4STAT.
Infusing life into your day, hope into your soul, and love into your heart. Guiding you towards God's direction. That's our mission. WIAM 101.1 FM, The Way.
I have looked for